It's Tuesday, it's 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane Business and Politics. Thanks for joining us. Happy to have you along with us. And hey, if it's your first time here or if you're a longtime person, you know, Shane, it's come to my attention that 80% of the people that watch us aren't subscribed. I don't know what I got to do to get you to click that subscribe button. I mean, come on, your chance of dying on the Hindenburg are reduced if you hit the subscribe button and hit the notification bell. You'll always be notified whenever we are on again, and like us and leave a comment, because YouTube likes that kind of stuff. You know, they like us to, they say, well, gee, if people like these guys, maybe we should too. So they'll move us up in the rankings. And we're also, if you want to sponsor us or take care of us monetarily, we need taken care of badly. So there's a link in the description below on YouTube, and click on that and you'll get to see all the great benefits of doing that. It's not just give us money and we're not going to give anything back to you. We're going to give a lot back to you. Just go down there and check it out. Also, if you'd like to make broadcasts like this or podcasts like this or videos like this, we use StreamYard. And there's a link down below for a free subscription to that. And today we're going to talk about how to build real wealth. And so we're going to talk about what makes something valuable, Shane? What makes something valuable?
Well, I guess the first word come to mind would be intrinsic. So it's intrinsic value. That means stocks, equities, debt aren't, you know, as valuable as everyone thinks, because they have no intrinsic value other than what someone's willing to pay for them. But, you know, things like real estate or metals, they're very valued. And because they're a commodity that can be exchanged, they have obviously greater value than something that's traded on an exchange that's paper. So there you go.
Yeah. I would think it is when historians look back on us and they see that we traded these worthless little pieces of paper back and forth, and everybody just accepted that these little dollar bills are worth anything, they're going to wonder, what the hell were we thinking?
Well, in a lot of ways, that's probably true. But for the last 800 years, it's been, you know, since the 12th, 13th century, you know, it's been pretty much the way of managing money, especially for people that travel. Mm-hmm. You know, it started back with the march to the Middle East, you know, in the 12th century. Mm-hmm. It's one of these things that is evolved over time, but you know, there's always been intrinsic coins back to the Greeks in, you know, the 6th century BC, you know, with their silver dukes, and you know, the Romans of course printed a huge amount of coinage for their empire, and so did the Persians, Chinese as well. The Chinese of course are one of the largest producers of gold. As of 2016, they're the largest consumer of gold jewelry. It used to be India, but you know, it's quite fascinating because India has such a large amount of gold predicated on jewelry, because it's an expression of wealth in the country.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of uses for gold and silver other than jewelry. You know, probably if you're watching us on a laptop or a smartphone, there's silver. There's gold in there somewhere, probably, more than likely. There are currently, there are about 36 major types of U.S. gold coinage, you know, from the common to the extremely rare. And that's what we wanted to talk a little bit about today, gold and silver versus the U.S. dollar, because you know, the dollar, the buying power of the dollar has dropped precipitously over, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, take your pick. You know, the dollar seems to buy less and less every year, but gold and silver coins can appreciate in value because of either their rarity or the amount of gold, where the price of gold or silver is at the time.
Well, that's right. An example is Italy is the world's largest producer of gold-linked chains, you know, for jewelry. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to necessarily buy coins. You know, you can go buy, you go to a jewelry store tomorrow and buy a, you know, a 99% gold-linked chain, and you know, that's as valuable as coins because it, mm-hmm. it's made of gold. Same with silver. Yeah. But I always recommend people buy silver, particularly silver coins, because they'll have an intrinsic value, perhaps, in one day. You know, like, you know, 78% of the annual production of gold is made into jewelry. Mm-hmm. The rest is made into bullion and coins. And, of course, it's used in electronics and computers because, you know, it's a good conductor. And it's used in aerospace because it can be so finely, you know, so it can be made so thin, and it's a good reflector of heat. And, you know, and then, of course, there's always those great medals and awards like the Olympic medals. Yeah, that's a, mm-hmm. That's a serious piece of gold, you know.
True. Yeah. Well, Bruce says debt-free wealth is what we want, and I believe the current-based monetary system is going to collapse shortly. Well, I can't agree with that, Bruce. I'm sorry, but I don't think it will. It's been going for a long time, and plus there's too much invested in it, not only in America, but worldwide, for it to collapse.
Well, that's why the U.S. dollar is such a significant dollar globally, because you know, 69 countries use it as part of the country. I mean, it's the U.S. money sent back to Mexico was 30% of their GDP. So, I mean, there's six countries that actually use the U.S. dollar for, you know, their mm-hmm. currency. And they printed so much that it would, no one could ever print or, you know, fast enough to catch up with the amount of dollars that are out there. Plus, it's a global exchange of trade, and you need something with some intrinsic value or established intrinsic value,
right?
Like you know, currency for people to exchange. Although credit is taking over a lot of it's virtual. You know, the SWIFT we've talked about, the SWIFT banking system, and so sovereign debt is another way that people use to trade, which we've also talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the gold coins now aren't for exchange. You don't take a gold coin down to Walmart, but they're collectibles and they're investments. And most of them today are 90 to 92% gold. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we find ourselves with those. Some other things we can look at, Shane, is looking at the gold prices over the last 20 years. Gold has hit 2,500 a couple of times back in 1980, and then in the mid-2000s, right after the recession that we had during the 2008-2009. And but for the most part, it's kind of leveled off in recent years. And the same with silver. Silver made pretty much the same up and down that gold did, and has also kind of leveled off the past few years. So hasn't gone really up dramatically or down dramatically.
Yeah, gold isn't as a big of an industrial metal as silver is.
Right. Yeah.
But there's only about 244,000 metric tons of gold in the world. That would be like driving by the Baxter, as we talked about this. It's about an 80 by 80 foot cube. That's about the size of the Baxter Hotel. That's not very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, silver is the same, but it's about a 40 or 50, you know, square foot cube, you know, 40 by, you know, 50 by 50 foot cube of mm-hmm. metal. China and Australia and South Africa are mm-hmm. probably three of the biggest producers along with the United States. Scientists don't know exactly how gold came about. It's an element, so it's one of the major elements, you know, in the universe, as is silver. But the value of it started with the silver that was found in Greece. You know, mm-hmm. they found in Thermopylae a very big silver mine, and so they started using it. And the silver stands for shiny or bright. That's mm-hmm. the Greek word, shiny or bright. That's why where the name came from. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting is that the pound sterling came from the result of the Boxer Rebellion. And, you know, the 120 years ago in China, around 1901 to 1901, and reparations were forced upon the Chinese, and the British took all theirs in silver. So they took half the silver holdings of China at the time, and that's what they used to back the dollar with. So that's why it's called pound sterling, because the British pound sterling is backed with silver, not gold.
Yeah. Well, the amount of gold the U.S. holds versus the dollars, the paper dollars that are out there, about 4% of our dollars are backed up by gold.
So yeah, that's right.
That's pretty. Well, the top countries, and I'm gonna read some of these because some of the folks are on our audio, not our video. Number one, China, 612 metric tons. These are the top 10 countries that buy the most gold jewelry. India, 463 tons. United States, 138. United Arab Emirates. Easy for me to say.
Emirates.
46.2. Iran, 39. Turkey, 39. And Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, Russia, and Egypt to round out the top 10. But Russia is about three or four times what the United States buys in gold jewelry, and they're looking at the long term because the yuan is not very strong against the dollar, so they need something in there to have some value. Otherwise, I think people would abandon the yuan as a notable or a currency that you want to trade with.
Well, to some degree, the yuan doesn't exist as a paper currency anymore. Only the coins in the rural areas are still used. So they've restricted their currency to cell phones and your bank and debit cards. So they know exactly where it is. And the reason for that is their debt to equity, as far as sovereign debt, is 256%. I mean, you know, Japan is 145%.
Right.
You're at 115%. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
that's of GDP.
Of GDP. Yeah.
For the benefit of people who don't know what percentages we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. And China's having a serious issue with all these things, because mm-hmm. they're trying to modernize, but, you know, they've only been a capitalist system for 50 years and never had a depression. And they've always bought themselves away from recessions. So we've seen this in American history. You know, the more you put it off, the worse it gets. So we're in a recession right now. Mm-hmm. There's no question. The second quarter, there's no growth in the U.S. So we were right. We called it November. Top of the market was November. We called it. And that's why we're having this conversation today, so people have some better understanding of gold and silver mm-hmm. as something to look at to protect their interests, because between inflation and, the cost of living, your paper is losing value real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. Yeah. Well, inflation is just it's a dollar sort of a misery index. How miserable are you? So how valuable it is. So that's kind of where we find ourselves here, that every time the gas goes up a buck and, you know, stuff on the store shelves increases, you didn't get a raise. So
yeah, it's one of the most remarkable things about history is the valuation of elements, as we know. When you look at the commodity market today, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, some of these valuations, you look at them and you wonder, how is this possible? I mean, it's sort of off topic, but you look at lithium, for example. It's 475,000 a metric ton.
Yeah.
I mean, platinum's $864 an ounce.
An ounce,
and, you know, and steel is 920 a metric ton. So, you know, titanium is only 13 kilogram. But gold, of course, has always been looked upon as a safe harbor. And people in the last, two or three years thought that these cryptocurrencies might hold that favor. But that's showing to not be certain because of what's happened in that market. So, you know, it always gets to a point of where do I go to protect myself? Well, best place is, of course, real estate. No one can dig it up and take it away from you.
Yep.
And the next is precious metals in some form.
Yeah. And as we've talked about, we recommend the coins because they can, even if the price of silver or gold drops, the rarity or the desire to own the coins may compensate for that loss.
That's
so
right.
they can maintain their value. So,
well, and if things worsen to lessen us, you know, a bad recession or a crash landing, or the U.S. government tries to spend more than, you know, $500 billion on something. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they try to do another $1 trillion funding of anything, that could tip it over into a depression. It really could. Mm-hmm. It could cause a collapse of different countries and their debt. But the difference between silver and gold is leverage. If gold, for the sake of argument, were to go for some reason up 10% to 17,000 an ounce, you'd see silver probably go up, you know, to 100 or 200 or maybe 500 an ounce.
Yeah.
So you'd have, you know, for what you'd pay for it now at $19, you'd have, you know, 20 times more leverage in value if that were the case. That's why I mentioned, you know, besides coins, a silver necklace, gold necklaces, all these different things. Go to estate sales and buy some old jewelry sort of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, go out with the wife for a night and get a little bored and, you know, sit there and spend $4,000 or $5,000 buying some old gold jewelry it's something easy to hide and you can keep it at home.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, Bruce points out the obvious: $6 for a gallon of milk, $5 for eggs. pretty scary as we go into the summer, and as we've talked about, the summer is going to be a little scary. I think, Shane, we're halfway through the year, and you know, it's like a basketball game. Is the second quarter going to be worse than the first? And Rusty says those who have all the money will have all the worthless money. It only makes sense to buy foreign currency or buy up assets before the big crash. Well, I don't know about foreign currency. I don't know of a currency stronger than the dollar in the world right now. But maybe there is maybe Shanghai or.
No, there's no currency. They don't have it. So, yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, the relevant. Economies of the world, like Japan, and you know, the yields on their bonds are very low because of the problem they have with their debt. But you know, you say Brazil is, you know, fast becoming a failed state because of the politics, and you know, their 10-year interest rate is on their 10-year bond is 13%.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's pretty scary. You look around the world that are already in double digits.
Especially when we saw negative bonds, what, 8 months ago. And,
right.
You know, when you look at Brazil and you look at 15%, you think, how the hell am I going to pay that 15% back to me if I buy this bond? How's that going to happen exactly?
Well, that's why the rate is so high, is to try to get people to buy it. But
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a clickbait to buy it. But still, if I'm gonna sit there, well, 15%, that's pretty good in today's money. But how are they gonna pay it off?
That's right. If they don't pay you, you sort of that.
Yeah, I'm screwed.
It's one of those things that hasn't got intrinsic value anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to put a $500,000 into those bonds, but I'm not going to get that 15% back.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's not going to work very well. So
yeah, and the other issue that you have too with this, and that's why we wanted to talk about it, is you know, the 244,000 metric tons of gold, you know, 80% of that's been found since 1950. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's you know, most of it's new gold. So that known additional reserves around 15,000 tons that are known that people are trying to mine. But the fact is that when it comes to gold coins, you know, you're talking about you know, less than 100 million coins. Mm-hmm. You know, in the last 2,000 years have been minted. And silver is less. It's about 80 million or 80 billion in coins. So there's not a lot of it out there. And so it's one of these things again. What do you hold with intrinsic value in case you need money to live and buy food and gas or just to survive?
Well, that's true. Yeah, we got to have all those things. So, well, finish up here, Shane. You know, we both agree, I think, that silver coins are where you should put some of your portfolio, maybe 5% or so in some of these instruments to hedge against inflation. And have something when you come out on the other side. If we do come out on the other side,
take up a hobby, become a numismatist, numismatist as a coin collector, and and enjoy the coins you collect, and you know, just keep it in the privacy of your home. And I've been an avid collector for years. I just think it's a great idea. You know, a lot of people take their monthly paycheck and they go, well, this is how much I'm going to save. You know, you should take 10% every month of every paycheck and put it in the bank to save. Yeah. But you don't want to leave it there because of interest. So whatever cash you have, you want to put in or buy something with an intrinsic value, like what we just discussed today.
Yeah, that's true. So. Well, as I said before, only 80% of you are subscribed. So take the moment, hit the subscribe button. It's down the right-hand corner, or down below the video or wherever. And ring the notification bell. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. But you don't have to worry about that, because if you ring the notification bell, it doesn't matter in the world where you are. You'll be notified at whatever time it is in your particular place. So, hey, do it. Like us, leave a comment. What would you like for us to talk about in future podcasts? What topics would you like us to cover? So that will wrap it up for today, Shane. I want to remind you on the crawl that we are on the radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Go over there, click listen now at KMMSAM.com. No sign up needed, no email, no personal information. You don't have to join anything. It's amazing that you can do that. You can do it anywhere in the world. So every Saturday, 8 to 11, 3 hours of Tom and Shane with limited commercial interruption. And also our past shows are also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. Those are free to watch, of course.
And you can call in, give them the number, Thomas.
Yeah, 522-TALK, 406-522-8255.
Call from anywhere and you know, talk to us. Have fun. Yeah.
There you go. All right. And Wendy, hey, you're looking good too, Wendy. All right. We like thanks for watching. All right. Let's see. That's going to wrap it up for us, folks. So we will see you on Thursday. So don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment, and we'll see you on Thursday.